I'm walking around the pan again on the northern side, but I'm keeping more to the east. I feel like spending a bit of time to pay attention to the very small things, the small animals, the insignificant, often unnoticed signs that one picks up in the bush. And as I walk and I come across these signs, I'll stop, and if I can figure out what it is and whether it's interesting, if it's interesting, I'll talk a little bit about it. It's about 9 o'clock, and it's most of the morning haziness has disappeared now. It's not hot at the moment, although the sun has a sting to it, as it tends to have in the Kalahari, and there's a bit of a breeze blowing which may interfere a bit with this recording, but let's hope it doesn't obscure the sound too much. If I look to the south, I can see a small herd of gemsbok and hartbeest at the salt lick about a kilometer away, in close to the center of the pan. There's also a small group of springbok, maybe 30 or so, a little distance from them. No eland at the moment, interestingly. There were eland yesterday, and the day before, but maybe they will still come. Let's see. In the meantime, I'm going to continue to edge the pan a little bit away from the into the vegetation, away from the open, and cross these game paths. There are quite a few of them, many, and they quite they have quite a bit of sign on them, that makes sense, because game tend to use these paths to move around, because it simply uses less energy, and it enables them to concentrate on other things than having to negotiate obstacles and vegetation and so on. They can perhaps pay attention to their surroundings better, to see and become aware of better predators. So let me continue, and as I come across interesting things, we'll talk again. Yeah, this is interesting. Here, right in the path, is some porcupine scat, porcupine droppings, unmistakable. They're as thick as one's finger, and pointed at the ends, about as long as maybe 25 millimeters, and they're very grainy because of what the porcupines eat. They, of course, eat mainly roots and bark when there's nothing else available. If they can find fruit, they will, and also tubers eat that. And then there's a little bit more moisture in the fresh dung. Otherwise, it's very very hard and brittle, because there's almost no moisture in their diet, or very little moisture. These porcupine, they have very strong front incisors, two flattish teeth, and they like rats, but of course much bigger, and they use these to gnaw through roots and peel off bark and so on, and break through the shells of harder fruits. So they're very well equipped. Now, I've heard even experienced bush people remark that a porcupine will shoot their quills into something that threatens them. Now, this of course is not true. porcupines can't shoot out their quills. They reverse very rapidly towards something that threatens them. They will also throw their body sideways at something that threatens them. And then they actually ram these quills into whatever they want to discourage. And the quills are extremely sharp, and they have micro counter hooks on them, so they penetrate quite deep, and they not easy to get out. They stick, and so many a predator has died from porcupine quills that were stuck in its mouth or paws and got infected, and it wasn't able to hunt properly, and eventually died from hunger. So a customer that is best avoided, I think, if I was a predator. And there are also, this scat is quite fresh, I see now, as I finger it. It's probably from last night. And there are also some porcupine tracks here, strangely human hand-like. half obscured now by some gemsbok and hartbeers, but unmistakable, interesting. The other tracks here, as I said, is of gemsbok and hartbeers, and this is great. Here's some eland track too, but this is an amazingly big bull. The front imprints are, well, let me just see, maybe between 80 and 100 millimeters in diameter, and pressed deep into the surface, into the sand. Very heavy front part of his body. He must be huge. This is great. Very special specimen. I wish I can see him. I bet his shoulders and neck are black with age. These big eland bulls are something special to see. I'm rather fortunate. This northeastern part of the Pan is quite rich in animal sign. I've come across some leopard track now, also from last night. Looks like quite a big male to me. Well, unlikely that I will spot him, but very interesting to see his tracks here. And nice to know that there are leopards around. Of course, there's an element of danger in their presence, but I have never in my personal experience had leopard threaten me in my camp. Although I have heard stories of leopard coming into camps and attacking people. But those are leopards that I think have become used to humans and have moved around their presence and have become sort of tamed to them almost, in a sense of familiarity. And then the line between inquisitiveness and predation becomes very thin. In these very remote areas, same as with lions, leopards are less inclined, in my opinion, to even come close to a camp and attempt to attack humans. I'm probably about 8 or so kilometers, maybe a bit more, from my camp at the moment. And I want to go a little bit further and then loop back in a long, lazy loop back to my camp. So there's quite a bit of walking to do still. But this recording may be getting a bit long now. It may start taxing the patience and interest of my esteemed listeners, and I don't want that to happen. So I think I should perhaps break this recording here and put the rest of the walk onto the next recording. So yes, I'm looking forward to recording the rest of the walk, and then we'll put that into a separate placing.